Proverbs to the point where, you know, we're progressing just verse by verse. We're taking different subjects, because that's what Proverbs really is about. You can break down the subjects into many different things, probably 20 to 25 different subjects altogether. And tonight we're going to talk about the slothful man. The slothful man. Now, the Bible primarily uses the term slothful man. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't use the term slothful woman? Guys, that's a good little preaching to us. And we know Proverbs 31 woman is certainly far from being slothful, right? But ladies, you can glean from this also, because you don't want to fall into this category yourself. But or sometimes the Bible uses the term the slothful or the sluggard. So we're gonna talk. Just, it's not gonna be long here tonight. I don't have, you know, I mean, the Bible has quite a bit to say about it. We're gonna use some examples in the Bible. You like that, Satitis? Anybody look that up today? I mean, it's real. It is a real health condition. You gotta be aware of these different health conditions out there. So you don't want to fall into that particular satitis. You shouldn't be sitting too long. And I won't have you sitting too long here tonight. We'll get you up, get you moving around, and it's good for you, right? Proverbs 22, verse 13. Proverbs 22, in verse 13. We all there? The Bible says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And again, it's such a blessing to have a copy of this blessed book. We are so grateful for it. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that this Bible does not have one error in it. It doesn't have anything wrong with it whatsoever. Lord, what it has in it is for us. We are not to change it. We're not to reword it. We're not to add to it or take away from it. Lord, exactly what it says is exactly what we need. It's exactly what you want us to have and hear. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight as we do look at this subject that I think that we could all use some good advice on about the slothful or the sluggard. And so, Lord, help us tonight. Help us not to be a sluggard or slothful when it comes to our Christianity. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd work mightily in each and every heart that's here tonight, be with those that are not. We know that Brennan is traveling and others are may be sick. We know, Lord, some just decided to stay home because they didn't want to come tonight. I pray that you'd work on their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would bring strong Holy Spirit conviction upon Christians of their need to be in church if they physically can attend. Lord, we know that the Bible says, "Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching." And so, Lord, it is our duty, it's our responsibility to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. And so, Lord, I just pray that you bless those that are here tonight, bless those, Lord, that are listening. And we pray and ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's power, your presence. And Lord, just help us now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why are sloths slow? The animal, you've all seen the sloth, right? Kind of an amazing animal, really, when you look at it. Or I don't know if you've ever seen one. I'm trying to remember if we've seen them in the zoo. I don't remember if Syracuse or Rochester Zoo has sloths. You know, I don't recall that. They're quite an amazing animal. Sloths are the slowest mammal on earth. Did you know that? They are the slowest mammal on earth. Their scientific name, which is Bradypus, that's kind of an interesting name, I don't know why, means slow feet, excuse me, in Greek. Slow feet. So that's where they get their name from. I think they got their name from the Bible, personally. Because the Bible uses the term sloth, or the slothful. And so the animal, the sloth, obviously has a biblical name because of what it does. Sloths have an extremely low metabolic rate, which means they move at a languid, sluggish pace through the trees. On average, sloths travel 41 yards per day. That's not too far. Less than half the length of a football field. On the ground, they go about 1 foot per minute. So they don't move very fast. You ever see the sloth, you know, just kind of barely moving? There's a commercial out there that is hilarious. And there's a movie out with pets or something that's got the sloth and they walk, what is it? Zootopia, where they walk up to the counter and they're trying to get the He's working at the DMV. That is hilarious. I'm telling you.
Our DMV actually has that self-swap in their office.
Oh, do they? Yeah, I haven't been in there once. But it's amazing to see that in sloths. Do you ever look at a sloth, though? A real sloth has like a smile on their face. They say that when you look at a sloth, they'll actually look back at you and give that little smile. But they say, don't be tricked by the smile because it may still not be in a good mood. So, I don't know. I'm just did a little research today on them. How often do sloths sleep? Boy, say that 10 times fast. Sloths, I can't even say it good. Sloths sleep. Sloths snooze or sleep for about anywhere from 15 to 20 hours per day. That leaves only 9 hours or so to lumber through the trees. That's where they spend most of their time, by the way, is in the trees. They maintain a low body temperature of about 86 degrees to 93 degrees Fahrenheit and move in and out of shade to regulate their body temperature. I really believe when I look at these, I think about these sloths and study these a little bit, it really sounds to me, please don't be offended, but it sounds to me a lot like some teenagers I know.
Yeah, right.
Amen? Some, not all, but some resemble the sloth, the way they move and what they do. There's another, and I don't get into commercials, but there's another commercial with this chunky little kid that is staying with his grandmother. Have you seen that? And he calls his grandmother. She's in the other room for her to bring him another glass. That's the mentality of some of our kids today, is they're just so lazy that they can't do anything on their own. And that is what we need to be careful of. The diligent man's opposite, we talked about the diligent man, the diligent man's opposite is the slothful man. Complete opposite. He is lazy, he's idle, and he is often referred to as a sluggard. He has a distinct taste, distinct distaste for work. The sluggard or the slothful man does not really care to do a whole lot of work. They or he often has the ability to accomplish a given task, but lacks the initiative needed to carry it out or carry it through. They might start something, but they just don't want to finish it. They don't want to end it. Or they want to give it to somebody else to do constantly. Remember this morning? Let George do it. We talked about that a little bit. He tries to find an excuse for not doing his work. That's the slothful. That's the sluggard. Proverbs lists two of his excuses as the cold weather and there's a lion outside. And we'll take a look at that. But I'll tell you, we got to be careful about this. It is easy. Listen, it is easy sometimes to be lazy. It is easy to be slothful. It is easy to be a sluggard. And God does not like the slothful or the sluggard. Doesn't mean you got to bounce off the walls all the time. But it means that if you have a job to do, you need to do it. If you work for the secular industry out there, or you have a secular job, it means that you go to work and you do the best that you can for that boss, for that company. If you have something to do within the church, you have a Sunday school class, preach, nursery, school, we are to do the best that we possibly can do. Again, the opposite of a diligent man is a slothful man. And so the opposite of the slothful is the diligent. Let's be diligent in our service for God. I don't find any laziness or slothfulness in Jesus Christ when He came to this world. And you know that He was not lazy and slothful. He'd spend half the night out, on a mountaintop somewhere, praying. He was always teaching and preaching. He was going here, going there, doing the work. And yet it didn't mean that He never had time to rest. We all need time to rest. Sometimes we rest a little too much. There are slothful men everywhere. On the job, they force others to take up the slack caused by their own laziness. Listen, I worked in industry for years, and so I know exactly what that's talking about. Many of you worked in industry or some form of job. Sometimes we even talk about it. Boy, I have to come into work and I got to do what the other shift didn't do, or I got to prepare the next shift for what they got to do because they just fall back on a job. And yet these people make good money, a good hourly rate. Another interesting characteristic of the slothful man is his wastefulness. Lazy people like to waste things. Cars, possessions, and even food are always appreciated more when a person has had to work for them. Yeah. Not that it's been handed to them. Amen. The Bible commands us, we're going to get into it and look at it in 2 Thessalonians, how we are to work. If we don't work, the Bible says we don't eat. Right. And that is biblical. And that's scriptural. Many of today's generation are wasteful because they have been given way too much. It's been handed to them. They have no sense of responsibility. Consequently, they feel that the world owes them everything. And that seems to be the generation coming up today. That's the generation after me. I mean, most of my generation, a lot of my generation, has had a fairly decent work ethic. Right? I mean, our age, we were told when I went to work when I was 13 years old, and I have been working practically every day since. I've been laid off 1 week in my entire tenure of working in industry and all over the place. Somebody called me the other day and said, I don't know what to do about unemployment. I said, well, I can't really help you. I've never been unemployed. I mean, I've always had some kind of a job, driving bus, county, of course, the church. Always have done something. There's always been work. I have been accused of being a workaholic. But I like to work. I like to be busy. I have my times of sluggardness or sloth, but I like to be busy, constantly trying to do something for God all the time. The slothful man's characteristics make even him or her unpleasant to be around. Sometimes we don't like to be around the lazy, the sluggard, the slothful, because it can rub off. Christians who are slothful, listen to me, Christians who are slothful are an extremely bad testimony for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're slothful, and I don't say that you are, I'm just saying if you're slothful, when it comes to things that your boss sees and or whatever, or within Christianity, whatever, it's a bad testimony to be a sluggard. It's a bad testimony to be slothful. It's a bad testimony to be lazy. It's a bad testimony to complain about work. Listen, I know some of us don't like to work, but we're commanded in Genesis 3:19 because of the curse that we are to work. We are to work with our hands. We are to prepare the soil. That's what it was designed for. We are designed to work. God, even before the curse, God put Adam and Eve in the garden to what? To tend the garden. They were to have a work ethic within the Garden of Eden. They weren't just to sit around, underneath the pomegranate bush and just enjoy life without ever tending to the garden. They had things that they had to do. God gave them responsibilities to do. They didn't have an easy chair and a remote and a big screen TV where they just sat around all the time and just watched TV. We have a generation coming up today that's the majority of what people like to do. Is just set me in front of a big screen TV, give me a remote, or give me a little device, or give me a game, or give me something, and that's what we do. While things in Christianity are falling apart. People aren't being visited. Things around the church aren't getting done. Physical things, spiritual things. Sunday school classes are hindered. Other ministries are hindered. And I'm going to say this, a lot of it has to do with the laziness of Christians within a church. The word slothful has been defined as this, you know what it is, but it's laziness. Being unconcerned, half-hearted, careless, inactive. And Webster said this too, addicted to slothfulness. Addicted. Laziness becomes an addiction. It becomes something that once you become very, very lazy, it's very easy to stay very, very lazy. We have to be careful about that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Before we get into, just go over to a few verses here real quick. Matthew chapter 25. And please, 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 I'm not accusing anybody in this room of being a sluggard. Okay? I don't have anybody in my mind, except maybe myself once in a while. I'm preaching to me tonight, too. Okay? So I'm not up here, as you would, some people, you're judging me, because, no, I'm just telling you what the Bible has to say. This is one of those messages or Bible studies that we're going to look at that deals with this subject. But I do see a lot of it going on today. And we pastors are not exempt from it. I know some preachers that they spend half the day on Facebook. Or they'll spend half the day playing a game on a computer. To me, that's laziness. Amen. Amen. I try not to do that stuff. Matthew 25, verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Did you notice how Jesus put in wicked and slothful in the same little phrase? What does that tell you about the slothful? Come on, think about it. What does it tell you about the slothful or the sluggard or the lazy? It's wickedness. It's not godliness. God has never been lazy in all of eternity. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather. We're going to come back to this a little, but I just wanted to show that. Look at Romans chapter 12 in verse 11. Romans 12:11. Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 11. The other thing I see a lot today is people are shortcutting everything. They want a shortcut. Shortcut this, shortcut that. I think some of that is because we're lazy and we want a shortcut. But Romans 12:11 is not slothful in business. Did you get that? Slothful, don't be lazy in business. If you have a business, if you're doing something at all, you should never ever be accused of being lazy or slothful in that. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Come on, folks, you can't serve the Lord being a sluggard. At least you can't serve the Lord well by being a sluggard. Look at Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6:12. Our churches all over this country are suffering from this disease. I call it a disease, but it's really a sin. And that's the sin of laziness. Being slothful. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're not to be slothful. I look at the early Christians, and I'll tell you what, it's very difficult to find early Christians that were slothful. I mean, they were meeting every day in somebody's house. They're praying all the time. They're enjoying Christianity. They're constantly studying their Bibles together. They're fellowshipping. It's sometimes almost impossible to get some people to just fellowship. Our men's prayer breakfast is a time of fellowship. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 8:30 in the morning. You got to get up a little earlier and come to that if that's the case. Or whatever it is that we're doing. A lot of it goes back to, you know, just I don't want to do that. Or I'm tired or this or that. Listen, we all get tired. I'm tired tonight. I am. I didn't go lay down today and take a nap and all that. I did go in and Kathy and I was reading a book and she was sitting there and I was reading a book to her. And so we were just sitting there for a while and I did put my head back for a few minutes, but that didn't last. The geese were flying overhead making all kinds of noise and I couldn't get any rest. Those geese, I'll tell you. Let's go back to Proverbs. Let me give you several things. You might want to jot these down. You don't have to, or it's totally up to you. But I want to give you some things about the slothful tonight. First of all, we see that the slothful makes excuses. Write that down. The slothful makes excuses. There's always an excuse for something. Seems to be always an excuse for anything. The preacher needs something done around the church. There's an excuse why we can't do it. There's an excuse why it can't get done, and this can't get done, and that can't get done. I'm thankful for the people we do have in our church that step up and help out. Praise the Lord for that. Because we can get some things done when that is. Chapter 22 again, we'll look at it one more time. We already looked at it, but verse 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Look at 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Look at verses 13 and 16. 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. It's almost the same identical pattern as 22:13. Look at verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You know, it appears that the sluggard is wiser, that is saying, in his own eyes than seven wise men are. And so the sluggard thinks he's got the answer to everything. I know that. And, you know, he or she, don't forget, ladies, I'm trying primarily speaking to us men, though, here tonight. So the sluggard seems to be always wiser than other people because he claims to be. Does it make him wiser than other people? No, not necessarily, but he claims that. So he's always making excuses. There's danger out there. I can't go outside. There might be a lion out there. And maybe there is a lion, 100 miles from here. Maybe there is something going on out there that's a little dangerous. But it doesn't mean that you stop doing what God wants you to do. Do we trust the Lord for anything? Of course we do. Look at chapter 20 and verse 4. Chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 4. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Listen, I would love to use that excuse not to go out in the winter. I would love to hibernate somewhere. I don't like the cold. I shook your hand tonight and you know my hands are cold. I'm cold. But I'm always cold. That's just me. I don't know why. My thyroid's okay. They've already checked me out and they increased my medicine. And so I'm cold. I get warm in July and August, and then I get cold again. And so I'd love to not go outside when it's windy and snowing. I'd love to just say, Paul, get over here and plow the parking lot. I ain't going out there. But there's times that we have to do things. We always have to do things. All that snow we got not long ago, I had to go out and I had to get all the snow off the roof. Because if not, it's going to leak in certain places. I know that. And so it'd be wonderful to call somebody else up. But I'm right here, and so I go out and do the work and get the snow off the roof. And so there are times, do I like going out there when it's, the windshield is 30 below? No, I don't want to do that. But there are times we have to do things, folks. Yeah, right. There are things that have to be done in the ministry. There are things that have to be done at your own home that you have to do. Plowing time in Israel is in November and December when the wind blows, commonly from the north, and it's cold. But you got to go out and do what you're supposed to do. And so the slothful or the lazy simply makes excuses. Go back to Matthew 25 again in verse 24. Matthew 25 and verse 24. 24. Matthew 25 and verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said, we just read that a minute ago, thou wicked and slothful servant, you're a lazy guy, Jesus said. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Listen, this was a lazy, slothful, wicked person that didn't want to do what his Lord told him to do. And so he just went and hid it. It was easier for him to hid it than to invest and take care of the financial part and put some effort and put some work behind it. That's the example of people making excuses. The slothful loves to make excuses. Secondly, the slothful loves to sleep. The slothful enjoys sleep. Now, listen, I enjoy sleeping. Don't get me wrong. I get tired, you know. I'm getting older, so hey, at night, early on, it's, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm looking forward to the pillow, you know what I mean? And I get tired, you know, you're on the go all day, you get up early in the morning, every morning I'm up early, and so you're going all day. By nighttime, you get tired out. Your body starts to say, it's time to go to bed. It's time to get some sleep. But the slugger just loves to sleep all the time. Well, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And that's not good for you either. You need your sleep. You need your rest. Your body needs your rest, needs its rest. But the slugger just wants to sleep. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. In verse 9. Proverbs 6, 9. Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. Look what the question is. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? In other words, when you getting up, man? When you getting out of bed? It's time to get up. It's time to get going. Boy, when I see people sometimes, they just sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. I say, what in the world is going on here? I can't do that. But that's me. Listen, my metabolism is different than others. I understand that. But just the point of somebody, again, the Bible makes it clear. Look at verse 10. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You got to be careful about too much sleep. I mean, that's not good for you either. It does the opposite. Makes you logy. I mean, it can harm your body when that's all you want to do is sleep. It's part of this being sluggard. Look at 19 in verse 15. Chapter 19, verse 15. 19:15. You say you think I'm crazy, but look what the Bible says here in 19:15. Slothfulness casteth into what? A deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Look at 26:14. 26:14. 26:14. I like this verse. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You know, a door just moves back and forth. That's all it does, right? It goes back and forth on the hinges. It moves one way, then it moves the other. And it never leaves where it is. It's not moved from its place. It just kind of rolls one way, rolls back the other. That's the sluggard. Laying in bed, rolls this way, and then rolls the other way, and doesn't get out of bed. There's something wrong there, folks. There's something wrong. Look at the example that we see. I think I just lost my phone call. I have a live streaming that I'm going to send somebody that can't be in church, and for some reason I just lost the person. So I'm getting the person back on the phone. Proverbs, what did I say? Oh, Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. All right. I think he had to go somewhere and do something. That's fine. Matthew 26, verse 36. You know the story. I was going to read all these, but I'm not good. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all these. You know the story here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Jesus, they come to the Garden of Gethsemane there in verse 36. And there's where they are, and he's got the disciples, and he tells them to sit here while I go and pray yonder. And then he takes Peter, James, and John, and he begins to be sorrowful and very heavy. He takes them in, and he tells them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You guys just wait right here, and I want you to, you can sit down, but I want you to pray. I'm really going through. I mean, this was a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus Christ, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. I already said that. Watch with me. And he went a little further. So he walks, he gets away from him. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and he findeth them asleep. They're sleeping. I know it's been a long day. I know it was a tense day for all of the apostles, but they've all fallen asleep. And Jesus even rebukes them and says, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can't you sit here while I'm pouring my heart out to God the Father? I'm about ready to go to the cross, and I need you right now. I need you guys on my side. I need you guys lifting me up in prayer. I need an Aaron and a Hur right now. And he didn't have them. So he wakes them up. They kind of maybe move around a little bit. He says, watch and pray. Ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. It's weak. He went again the second time, prayed, and said the same thing. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Comes back to the disciples there in verse 45. Says, sleep on now, you guys. Take your rest. Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. It's like he's tells them to rest. Maybe he gives them just a couple minutes. And then he says, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And yet we know shortly thereafter, Peter denies the Lord. And the rest of them all run off. I wonder if that would have happened if they stayed awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, a sluggard loves to sleep. Just give me sleep. Let me sleep. It's not that, hey, there are times that your body needs to catch up with sleep. We understand that, right? I mean, you understand that. There are times that you become overtired and you've got to get some extra sleep and get some extra rest. Everybody understands that. But a sluggard just loves to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. All right, let's go to the next one. Go back to Proverbs chapter 12 this time. Proverbs 12, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The third thing that we see is the slothful or the sluggard is wasteful. They're wasteful. Look at chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not, which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. He's wasteful. Either he went out hunting, didn't get anything, didn't care, or he got it and didn't say, that's it. I'm not going to just, you know, shoot it, kill it, leave it, or drag it back and let somebody else take care of it. That's the slothful man. Well, you're going to go hungry in those days. And if that's your attitude, you deserve to go hungry. Amen. But the slothful man roasteth not, which he took in hunting. Look at 18 verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So the slothful is a waster. They waste. What does a slothful or lazy person waste? Time. Number one, you waste time. You waste energy. You waste things for the Lord. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And so we waste. We're a lazy person is just very wasteful. when it comes to whatever it is that they're doing. We don't have time. You don't have time. Write this down. Look it up later, though. Luke 16, 1 through 4. The example is the unjust steward over there in the New Testament that Jesus brings up in Luke 16, verses 1 through 4. The slothful, as we've already said, look at 19:24. The slothful is simply lazy. 19:24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I mean, he is just so lazy, he doesn't even want to pull his hand out and feed himself. I mean, that's pretty bad. Somebody else come feed me, please. I'm just too lazy. I just can't do that. That's terrible to be that way. 26:15. But that also reminds me of this. How about somebody that wants to be waited on all the time? Come on, you know, serve me, wait on me, bring me this, bring me that. I'm the king of the castle here. You're to wait on me. That's the attitude of a lazy person. I'm here in my easy chair, I'm on the couch, I'm here, you know, bring me this and bring me that. It's like that little kid in that commercial calling grandma in the next room from his cell phone and asking grandma to bring him, I don't know,
soda.
Bring him a can of soda. Grandma, can you bring me some soda? And the grandmother looks like, what is wrong with this kid? But a lazy person, they just want to be served all the time. Constantly. That's what a lazy person is. Next, we'll look at this one. A lazy person or a sluggard or a slothful person does not want to work or they're not willing to work properly. Look at 21:25. A slothful or lazy person doesn't even think they have to work. 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Does not want to work. Does not want to labor. Work is a bad thing for me. I don't want to work. I don't think I need to work. I'm too lazy to work. I don't want to work. Well, ma'am or sir, you were designed to work. And God will bless you when you work. He will always bless you when you work. Look at chapter 24, verse 30. 24:30. 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You just go ahead and sit back and do absolutely nothing. Your place, your home, your church is going to fall apart. Your ministry will fall apart when you do nothing about it. You know that. I mean, listen, you've got to put time and effort into anything you do. But the lazy or the slothful or the sluggard says, somebody else will do it. I don't need to do it. I'll let somebody else do it. You know, that. Listen, we do a garden every year and sometimes our garden gets out of hand. But if you're not out there weeding that thing and taking care of that thing all the time, those weeds will literally overpower your garden. Yeah. I mean, there's work involved. You have a home, you own a home, you have things to do. I mean, even this place, constantly trying to fix something. Always got something around here to fix. David asked me, I appreciate that, David, this past week. He had some time off. He says, Pastor, need anything done? Yes. I says, yes, I have some things that we can do. And he came over Friday and we got some things accomplished here. Praise God for that. I mean, because, you know, one person can't do it all. There are things that need to be done. Constantly, something needs to be fixed around here. Something needs to be done around here. Something needs to be cleaned around here. Every day after lunch, I go downstairs and I look and I say, I got to teach these kids. They're lazy. They don't want to pick up after themselves sometimes. It's like, I had hair before school. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 8. I'll tell you, Paul was a worker. You know, you look at the life of Paul, and how in the world did he have time to make tents or do any work? The guy was constantly traveling. He was constantly preaching. He was constantly starting churches. He was up against, you know, governors and kings and princes. And I mean, he was being shipwrecked. And I mean, the guy was, Paul was amazing. But you know what I like about the Apostle Paul? He wasn't lazy. He had a ministry to do and he did it. And it says in this, in verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught or for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. Paul actually even worked the night shift and preached during the day shift, is what he said. That we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we had not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. I believe that Paul was saying, listen, I believe in working and follow my example. Work hard. Working hard is a tremendous ethic that God blesses. I believe that with all my heart. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now that is all in context of him working, laboring with his hands. And he made that statement. You don't work. You don't work, buddy, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. But we have a mentality today that thinks that they can just sit around and do absolutely nothing, but they expect everything. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. That you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Listen, people without are watching us constantly. They're always looking. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Again, I believe that God blesses and takes care of those that are diligent and not lazy. God will see to it that your needs are taken care of by your own hands, by your own work ethic. But a lazy or slothful person just will not work. I'll go back to Proverbs chapter 12, just a couple more here and we'll be done. Proverbs 12:24. The slothful is also burdened. Burdened down. 12:24. Look at 12:24. 12:24. It says in Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. That word tribute means under a burden of some sort. And so the slothful is burdened down. They know that they should be doing something. They know that maybe their work ethic is not right. They know that there's things that could be done for the Lord. They know that. And yet they still go their way and do their own thing. And they have their own ideas. Look at 15:19. 15:19. The slothful has problems and troubles. It's not that nobody else doesn't have them, but let's look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 15 and verse 19. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. As a hedge of thorns. It's like a thorns. It's like the Bible saying that the slothful man or the person is going to have problems and troubles because they're slothful. They're going to have health issues, big time health issues, but also you're going to have financial issues and other issues possibly in your life because of slothfulness. 13:4. 13:4. The slothful also becomes poor. Several verses on this, and then we'll be done. This is the last one. Becomes poor. 13:4. Soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made what? Fat. Now that is not talking, you know, in size of body. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking, when you see the Bible mentions the word fat, it's talking about abundance of things. And so, again, the sluggard desires, but they don't have anything because they don't work for anything. Look at 20 and verse 4. 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and what? Have nothing. Have nothing. Look at 24:30. 24:30. We already read this, but just real quick, 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You're going to have nothing. The slothful individual becomes very poor when it comes to not only physical or material things, but how about spiritual things? We need to think about that also, because so often we have people today that look at the ministry as, well, that's for the preacher to do. That's for the assistant to do. That's for that person to do. No, the ministry is for all of us to do. Amen. Amen. The ministry is for all of us to be involved. Not just one or two or three people. You know the old cliche, the old adage, you know, more hands make work go faster, whatever that saying is. That's what we need to do. We need to be working together in the ministry, helping one another. You see somebody has a need, why don't you put your hand out and help that person? Maybe a financial need, maybe a physical need, maybe a family need, maybe something. But so often, ladies and gentlemen, so many times we close our eyes to that because we just want to focus on ourselves. Or we're just kind of lazy and we don't, I just don't want to get involved. Why not? Jesus got involved in your life. How come we don't want to get involved in other people's lives? Please, 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 let's not be the sluggard. Let's not be a slothful person. Let's not be addicted to laziness and slothfulness. Let's take a look at diligence and see what God wants us to do, because God, I believe, will always bless the worker. He'll always bless the diligent. I don't see biblically where God will bless the lazy. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. That God will or cannot. He cannot bless the lazy. And He will not bless the lazy. And so I gave you a few things tonight to think about. I hope and pray that I didn't offend you too bad. But we know, you know, I know where we need to make some improvements in our life. We know what we need to maybe make some adjustments in our life. And I don't ever want to be classified as a lazy person or a slothful person or a sluggard person. I don't want to be classified as that. And I would hope and pray that you don't want to be either. Amen? But let's not be slothful when it comes to souls, to the ministry, our Bible reading, our prayer time, our church attendance. There are people home tonight just sitting there watching TV. I'm going to say this. It may not be nice, but they're too lazy to get up and come to church. I know you don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. They don't want to get up. They don't want to get out in the cold. They're defined just like we see in the Bible. They don't want to get out. They don't want to do it because they just don't want to get out of their comfortable little home and get off their comfortable couch and put down their little remote and turn off their screen, flat screen TV, and come to church or whatever other thing you're going on. I say this so often. If you can't come to church physically, make sure that at 6 and 7 on Wednesday, you don't have any devices on. You spend time reading and praying. Amen. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Lord, you make it so clear in your Word that you do not, will not bless laziness or slothfulness or the sluggard. You bless the diligent. You bless those that put